Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle
with plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Happy Friday, guys. This is Larissa, and as always, I'm here with Allison.
Hi, everyone.
Today, we're going to be talking about food allergies. If you are a longtime listener of our show, you may have heard us talk about the food allergies that Allison deals with her daughter, Claire. So We wanted to make sure we take some time today to kind of walk through Allison's journey, walk through some of the things that you should look out for. And, you know, we're sure that Allison's not alone in this. So hopefully for those of you that are starting off in this journey or in the middle of this journey, maybe I'll give you some new tips or things to think of, or at least just someone to commiserate with.
Yeah. And actually, one of the questions I'm asked a lot is what I'm doing differently this pregnancy to hopefully avoid food allergies. So we'll get into that a little bit about what causes and what you can potentially do to avoid.
Awesome. And what are we drinking today?
So, of course, we're continuing our mocktail series, considering I am still carrying a little one. So we're doing a twist on a Moscow Mule. It's a super easy one to make, non-alcoholic, and to mix some alcohol in for your friends that would prefer to imbibe.
Prefer.
So a nice, fun one for everyone at the table. So cheers.
Cheers.
So food allergies is one of those things that I feel like we're hearing about more and more. Or they're becoming more common, probably a bit of both. And so it's just kind of like a hot topic. I feel like you're seeing it everywhere. You've probably got friends that are dealing with it, or friends that have dealt with it with their kids. So it's just a good one to talk about. There's also been a lot of press recently because of the Peter Rabbit movie. Did you hear about this?
I did. And I have specifically not taken my kids to see the Peter Rabbit movie in solidarity.
Oh, I love it. Although, you know, I'm not saying completely to avoid the Peter Rabbit movie. It has
That's what we're
place.
Saying. Boycott the Peter Rabbit movie.
Well, it's interesting because in the allergy community, if we'll call it that, there actually is a huge effort to boycott it. And so what's happening is in Peter Rabbit, I don't remember the specifics of the movie because I myself have not seen it, but it's all of the rabbits move into this guy's yard and like there's this whole battle between them. It turns out that he has an anaphylactic allergy to like blackberries or something. And the rabbits in one of their battles with this guy throw blackberries at them and attempt to get them in his mouth because they know he has an allergy. He ends up going into anaphylaxis and needs to give himself an EpiPen. And so the issue that people are having with this is obviously it kind of downplays the importance and the severity of somebody going into anaphylaxis. It's not just you take your EpiPen and then you're up to battle again.
Yeah.
You have to go to the hospital after you're given an EpiPen. Obviously, even with an EpiPen, you can have multiple reoccurrence of that same allergen just in your, like it can just keep happening. So you can die. So people are a little upset about children seeing that as something playful.
Yeah. Like we laugh because it's a, you know, it's a kid's cartoon and it's like done in a playful way, but for someone that it is a real life thing for them, like I could see why that would just that would hurt, right?
And I think it's more so what people are worried about is that it would desensitize people to the importance of allergy or underplay it, because it's, you know, we'll get into this a little bit, but especially in a school setting where there's other children that have food and kids love to share and like hand things around, there's always this concern. And then when you get into bullying situations, it's just like a total fear that there's this major Achilles heel that your kid has. So it's just scary. So I think that's a big reason that people are
so we're definitely saying boycott the Peter Rabbit movie.
I don't know if I'm saying that. I would say give.
I'm saying it.
Give your you have to have a really sincere conversation with your kids if you decide to take them to see it, so that they can understand the severity and sensitivity around
fair
it.
Fair point. For sure.
So maybe it's a good way to create a conversation.
Fair.
So, yeah. You know, I'm tactfully not saying
if you've
saying
gone against
it.
Our advice and seen it.
You can have a conversation with your
There's
kids.
Some other ways to have that conversation too, no?
True. Yes. Well, the poor parents in our school have had to have many conversations about it. But again, we'll get into that. So maybe we can start out sort of what these food allergies look like. What are some common allergens that are out there? And I think the most important thing to note is that there's just like a huge range in severity of allergies. So there can be anything from like a food sensitivity, like that food sensitivity that you took can tell you like your body doesn't love when you eat gluten or what have you. And then like from a gluten perspective, there's celiac disease. But from an allergy perspective, it can go anywhere from, hey, my stomach gets upset or I deal with some like IBS type issues, anywhere up to anaphylaxis, which is really your body shuts down. It impairs your ability to breathe. It sends your body into shock and can ultimately cause death. Anything before that, there's hives, rashes, there's cough, wheezing, shortness of breath. I'm trying to think of all the things that I've seen. They can go blue.
Oh gosh, how scary.
Yeah, there's dizziness, fainting, swelling of the tongue that even comes before anaphylaxis. So there's all these kind of things that can happen when you're exposed to your allergens, but it can be anywhere from you actually ingest the food to you've probably heard stories of kids that are allergic to peanuts and like just peanuts in the air can cause issues.
Yeah, my next door neighbor, their son has a reaction to tree nuts, and she one day ate some herself and like gave him a kiss on the cheek and he reacted to that.
Yeah.
So it just can be something so simple.
Well, that's how we found out about shellfish, actually. So on Thanksgiving or Christmas, we had just like shrimp cocktail or some kind of shrimp platter out, and everybody was eating it and then hugging on Claire, of course. And she ended up with a reaction that she didn't eat any of it. It was just skin reaction. So
I think we used to do this and we kind of joked about it, but you kept adding allergens for Claire. So
no new ones.
Okay, cool.
But I can list them off.
But maybe list them off so we like talk about, you know, because you're dealing with the gamut.
Yeah. So Claire is dairy, eggs, tree nuts, peanuts, bananas, which is the one I get the most questions about, shellfish. I think that's it.
Okay.
Oh, soy. Which interestingly is most of the top eight. So the top eight allergens, these are the ones that are most common. It's milk, eggs, peanuts, soy, all Claire's.
Mm-hmm.
Wheat is another common one, which Claire actually is not allergic to. Tree nuts. Tree nuts are like walnuts, cashews, any tree that actually, or the nut that actually grows on a tree, fish, again, one that Claire doesn't have, and shellfish. Those are our top eight.
Okay, so she does not have a fish allergy, just a shellfish allergy.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you'll see a lot on labels that are meant for people with allergies. It'll say top eight free, and that's what they're referring to.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just, these are the most common. If you have somebody that's, or a company that's known to make allergy-free foods, they're usually all of these top eight are just absent from their facilities.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, can you find products like that in a mainstream store?
Depends on the type of store. So we typically buy Claire's like allergy products, like things like, you wouldn't think about it, chocolate chips.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other things that we get that are specific. Most of the stuff.
No, but just like little snacks and things. So you get them from like a specialty online store type of thing.
Sometimes. And like, but some bigger grocery stores or grocery stores that have more gourmet items will have these. So there's a brand called Enjoy Life that's becoming more and more popular, and you'll see that in more mainstream grocery stores.
That's great.
But we typically go to like a Wegmans versus like your down the street grocery store.
Okay.
But you can definitely find things. Yeah, so that, I think one of the things I haven't talked about on here is sort of how we got here, because my daughter is really young. She's almost a year and a half in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So maybe just like how we got here.
Yeah.
I don't think I've shared that. So when Claire was born, pretty quickly she developed eczema head to toe. And when I say eczema, it wasn't, it was raw open sores on her cheek.
Not some dry skin that you might think of, like,
which is obviously also not great, but it was it was bad, and it was all over her cheeks and her body, and she would scratch at it and really cut herself. So we recognized that there was an issue. And at first, I think the thing that's really hard with little kids and allergies is that they're so often misdiagnosed because there's not a lot you can do to diagnose allergies. So at first, and I will apologize because I'm going to get out of breath for the rest of the time we're recording until I give birth. So just bear with me, guys. Baby's sitting on my lungs. So, you know, these red open sores on her cheeks. And so we went in at first. They were like, it's just baby acne. Put some lotion on it. And when you have a kid with allergies and you put, or with eczema, and specifically eczema that arises because of allergies, when you put lotion on it, it makes it so much worse. It burns. I don't know if you, have you ever had eczema?
I haven't, but I would imagine. I would imagine. And this was, we should note that this was before you kind of overhauled your entire house in terms of fragrances and, yeah, and the types of products you had. So you were probably using like a, I'm sure you were using a baby lotion, but it was probably kind of like, you know, the over the counter, whatever baby lotion,
it was,
right?
It was the ones we all get in our baby baskets. Right. Yeah. And so this is kind of what kicked off our journey, because I did a bit of research myself. I started to have conversations with the doctor. He was like, you know, it doesn't seem topical. It seems like there's something going on beneath the surface. And what's really common is for young babies to have intolerances to dairy, which it's actually cow's milk dairy. So like they can still consume breast milk, but the mother needs to cut out dairy.
Right.
So it started with dairy, and then the eczema started to clear, but she was having blood in her stool, which is sort of like the indication that something else is going on and something else is bothering her. So we slowly cut out all of the things that I previously listed, and wheat, because they threw that one in there for good measure. And so it went for, how long was I nursing Claire?
A little over a year.
Yeah, about 13 to 14 months. Yeah. Of just me not eating those things.
Yeah, I watched Allison kind of just wither away.
I didn't realize how great not eating dairy was for your body until I lost so much weight, but probably a little more than I needed to. But I think we started to see an allergist because we realized, you know, obviously this is some kind of an allergy if I'm needing to cut out all these things. We saw GI, we saw all of these doctors. They did a prick test on Claire, and maybe two quick things about diagnosis. So in people of all ages, there's only two ways to really diagnose allergies. One is a skin prick test and one is a blood test.
Okay. And the prick test is what? Is it literally what I'm thinking? It's just literally prick you with an allergen?
Exactly. Okay. It's a little droplet of that allergen. And then they just prick the skin so it gets under there. It irritates a little bit. They use a histamine as your control.
Okay.
Because everybody would react to histamine.
Okay.
And so that shows you, however they react to that, anything that are above, will it's a certain diameter or something like that.
Okay.
And so that tells you the level of allergy. And I think in kids Claire's age, it's more so how likely they are to grow out of it. So right now we're going back every 3 months, and changes to the diameter of the, what do they call it, hive, will tell us if it's going away or getting worse.
Wow. Okay. And so do they more often do the prick tests for kids more so than the blood test?
So they usually do both. And the reason is the blood test is a bit less exact, but it's easier to get. And blood test doesn't have as much human error. It's just the amount. It's just not a it's not an exact,
it's not the full
science
picture, yeah, right? And so, okay, so they're doing the two pieces to try to come to some conclusions with the two data points, I guess.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So we started out with the prick test when she was probably too young for the prick test. So right off the bat, she was showing kind of all over the place, not really consistent. But we started, I think it was after a year, we started with a really consistent allergist that we liked a lot. The first one didn't work out for a couple of reasons. And we were getting more consistent results. We were understanding what we could and what we couldn't cut out. Because last time I was like, oh, just try cutting this out. Just give this a go. instead of saying we need to cut this out because she's allergic to it.
Right.
So slowly we figured out what it was. We have this course of action. I think the challenge with Claire is that they do believe that she's anaphylactic to almost all of her allergens. So there's things out there that are called food challenges that some doctors are doing. And I've heard great things and I'm so hesitant to try it.
So tell me what that means.
So these food challenges are introducing the allergen in just such small portions over time. So it's almost like building your immunity to it.
Do you do that at home?
No, you okay. do that in a hospital setting.
Okay.
Yeah. There's definite risk. You're in a hospital setting, so there's advantage of obviously of that, but it's you know, it's putting something in your kid that you know is going to hurt them. I've heard such great things about it. So you know, it's definitely something it's on my radar. Let's put it that way.
Is Claire at an age where that is appropriate?
They
would do it this young?
Yeah. Okay. So something to consider. But the way that we've continued to add to the list and I finally found the doctor we like is she got a banana at daycare. We had no idea she was allergic to bananas. And she ended up in the hospital for that. So
acknowledge how, like, apparently it's very common, right?
I wouldn't say very common, but it's not uncommon.
But, like, I've literally never heard of it.
I know. So, of course, I did a mass amount of research after we discovered she's allergic to bananas of all. What kid doesn't eat bananas?
Your kid.
My kid. Apparently, it's relatively common because it's the same tree family as latex. And you've heard of a latex allergy.
Sure.
It's the reason that most doctors don't wear latex gloves. And so latex, while it's slightly more common than banana, it is relatively common because of that, whatever that property is in the banana tree.
So interesting.
So bizarre. So that's bananas are out.
Yeah.
But that's kind of our journey. So really what we do now is we've had all allergies confirmed. We are on a treatment plan. We go back every 3 months. We also needed to see a nutritionist just to make sure that she's getting what she needs. When you think about kids, you think about giving them calcium, chocking them full of milk. She can't have that. So we need to make sure that she's getting what she needs from food and hopefully not additives, just to make sure that she's growing appropriately.
Yeah. I think the other thing, too, that I picked on or picked up on when you were just talking a couple of times is, you know, when it comes to your kid, especially or when you're just not getting what you need, like, don't stay with a doctor that's not working for you. I think sometimes we think this person knows best, you know, they are the professional and we stay far longer than we should. Like, sometimes you don't mesh for some reason. Sometimes they're just not giving you the answers that you need, whatever it is. But I don't know if you have any advice there, but I definitely want to encourage people that, like, if you don't feel like you're getting what you need, go somewhere else.
Yeah. And actually, that's a really good point and something to touch on. So when I met with this first allergy, actually, when I was dealing with this all in all, you know, I was sitting there in a doctor's office near tears dealing with this kid that continued to have blood in her stool. I was starving and, you know, trying to figure out what was going on. And I felt like nobody was sitting down and just having a conversation with me about what this meant, what we could do, what the options are, what the treatment plans are, just like having a conversation with me about what the hell to do about my kid. My kid's sick. Somebody help. And so I guess it wasn't even a question for me. Like, this doctor was not working out. They weren't willing to have a conversation with me. They'd send me results in the mail and nobody to sit down and talk to me with them. So when I ended up with the allergist that we're now at, whom I adore, I sat with her right off the bat and I said, this is what I'm looking for in an allergist. I'm looking for a partner to make sure that we can get my daughter to a point that she can be fine. And she sat with me for, I want to say, 2 hours in that first appointment.
Wow.
She was amazing. And she walked me through the test. She walked me through our course of action. She talked with me. She was the one that set me up with the nutritionist. And, you know, I just felt for the first time somebody was like working with me.
Yeah.
Instead of just like seeing another kid.
Yeah.
And it can be that way. Difference.
There are offices where you feel like your kid is just a number down the line. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially in a case like this where it's an ongoing kind of journey to find a solution and to manage it. You need someone that you can build a relationship with and trust.
Yeah.
And have available to talk to.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely true. And then she can pick up the phone and have a conversation with me. When Claire ended up in the hospital, you know, I immediately called her, and you just get that support that you need. So anyway, where we are with it now is that we avoid all allergens. We actually don't keep a lot of things in the house. There are some things that we do keep in the house because now that I'm pregnant, all I want is dairy. But she carries an EpiPen. She obviously doesn't know about her allergies, but she'll grow up knowing what they are. But there's still a lot of hope with me, with her doctor, that she will outgrow a lot of these. There may be some intolerance for the rest of her life. Maybe some of these allergies stay with her. But my hope is that it's a part of her life. It's not her life. And that we can get her to a point that it's manageable.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts, I guess, or has this ever come up in terms of her testing? Is there any thought to how this happened or why it happened?
That's a good question. And I think about that a lot. And you have to kind of not think about that a lot. But really, the causes of allergies are not 100% known. And I think that's the thing that's frustrating about it, is that it could be a mix of just genetics. It could be environmental factors. It could be something that I did many, many eons ago. It could have been something I did when I was pregnant, but we don't really know. One thing we do know is Kyle actually has, my husband, has an allergy to tree nuts and carries an EpiPen. And so it's really common that if you have a parent that has an allergy that is of that degree, that children will as well. So he didn't actually discover his until he was like in his 20s, which is shocking that he avoided his allergy for that long. Every time I think about it.
And that he has to carry an EpiPen, so it's severe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had to stop his allergy test midway through because the hive was getting so large.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so he didn't have a tree nut until he was, well, ever, I guess.
How sheltered.
I know. I said the same thing. But thank God that he didn't.
Of course.
But they do say, like I said, family history is a huge risk factor. And actually there's some, I hate the word comorbidity, but like, there's some other, if you are prone to asthma or eczema, so if you have skin issues, it's hand in hand with allergies.
Yep.
So it's,
okay. Does that totally frustrate you? That you can't put your finger on it? Or you're past that?
I'm more focused
on the solution.
I'm past that until I'm not past that.
Yeah.
Because every once in a while, something will come up. So this pregnancy, when I was meeting with the nutritionist, she was like, are you eating peanut butter? And I was like, well, no, I don't keep my daughter's allergic to peanuts. I don't keep peanut butter in the house anymore. And she was like, you should eat peanut butter. And I was like, okay, I'll eat peanut butter. She was like, well, we know it can't hurt, but we don't know if it can help. So you might as well. Hmm. And I was like, that's a good point.
Okay, so, and peanuts are just like such a common allergy, but are they saying that the same thing about like all the other things? Or are they saying like, eat a ton of soy and shellfish bananas.
They're not saying anything because they don't know.
Yeah.
There's been some studies about an introduction to food early versus late, but it's mixed. Yeah. And
we did do some of that. We didn't wait till a year for like all the things. We went to around like 9 or 10 months and we were like, let's give this a shot.
Whereas I didn't have that option because at that point,
of course,
we'd already cut everything out. So like because her allergies presented so young, I felt like our hands were kind of tied.
Of course.
But I try to not let my brain wander into the what could I have done differently sort of camp of things.
Because as parents, we'll automatically blame ourselves for something we did. And it's likely not.
It's likely not. But it could be. And I'm, you know, definitely acknowledging that. But I would I would love to get to a point where we understand more about allergies. But in the meantime, I would love if there was more awareness of what it means to have a kid with allergies and to be a person with allergies. And I think we're getting there with things like the Teal Pumpkin Project. Have you heard of that?
Love it. Yep. We try to, so Teal Pumpkin Project is making sure there's allergy friendly snacks for like trick-or-treaters. Mm-hmm. And I don't like giving kids out crappy candy anyway. So I usually try to have something. Although sometimes that. When they come to my house and there's pencils, they're like, come on.
Well, give me the good stuff.
Come on.
But I love that. And there's a lot more companies that are providing options for kids and adults with allergies. So there's definitely a community out there.
And I see it too now in like, you know, my kids when they were younger used to watch like Daniel Tiger. And yeah. I remember an allergy episode where he was allergic to peaches. And there's like little things like here and there. And unfortunately, it's not uncommon now. And no. So it's just kind of widely out there. And so there's more. I don't know. There's more options in schools and otherwise. So you don't feel like you can't take your kid out in public, which I'm sure sometimes it feels that way. Like, don't bring her anywhere because everything is everywhere.
Oh, it definitely does.
That's probably a good segue to, you know, Claire is in the same daycare as my kid. So mm-hmm. And it's not a daycare that, you know, limits any of these types of foods. I know I send my kids in with a lot of these foods that Claire's allergic to. So maybe talk about how you guys manage for her and making sure that that type of stuff doesn't come across her lap.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for most parents who have kids with allergies, the like you said, taking them out in public or putting them in a situation where they're not in control of what they eat or they're in control of what they send, but sure. They're not in control of technically what
the
they
environment.
Eat there. It's just nerve-wracking. It's scary what they could get into. And like I said, the way we found out about bananas is she got a hold of some other kid's banana. So we are lucky enough, if you didn't listen, we actually brought our director from our daycare onto the podcast. It's an early episode. We'll link to it. But I had to work really closely with daycare to talk through these allergies, to help them understand the severity. And I think the thing that was most comforting to me is how much they put into it and what they were able to help and share with me. So the plan that we kind of put into place is that whatever class Claire is in, there will be a limit of the food that could be brought in. So we don't necessarily limit all of the food because we can't say no yogurt or no cheese or things like that.
Probably milk, right?
No, yes. Milk. So dairy is not limited in her classrooms, but other parents are not allowed to send in eggs, bananas, any kind of nut. I think those are the only things.
But that's still significant. Those are like main things that I would send in for my kid.
Yes.
They're very common things.
Nobody's sending in lobster anyway, so I think we're okay.
Oh, I do.
So they're limited. They're actually not allowed to have them in her class. And they have a separate table for Claire. So she sits at a little high chair while all her friends sit around a little table, which at first I felt I had some feelings about.
Of course. Like, just like hurts your heart a little bit, right?
I don't want her to be the allergy kid and like separate. But she doesn't mind. She knows her chair. She likes her chair.
She's the queen of the room.
She's the queen of the room. And so they have her seat separately. There's hand washing and changing of gloves when they're handling other people's food. And then they're just really helpful. They understand that her eczema needs to be monitored. They're helpful with the lotions that needs to be put on, the ointments, I should say. And they're very mindful of it. So I think there was one time that a kid brought over a piece of food, because you know how kids are, they like to share. They so brought over a food, the teachers were on them.
Swarmed.
Immediately. And I immediately got a phone call, so I was aware. And there's been times when people here's probably a good topic. Parents sending kids in knowingly with things that Claire can't eat. The school has been very good at monitoring that and monitoring other parents' reactions. We have to talk about that for sure. That was hard. That was really hard because it's really nerve-wracking. Boy, am I going to cry? I hope not.
Don't do it.
So, you know, in general, when you're sending your kid into school, it's just daunting because you're not in control of their environment and, you know, they could get into any number of things. But when you're sending a kid with allergies, there's just that sort of like added risk and added concern because there's something so simple that could cause so much damage. So when you're sending your kid in and they're putting these things in place that are making, giving you so much comfort, and other parents are pushing back, it hurts in a way that like I can't even describe, because the pushback is it's often of convenience.
Well, of course.
And the thing that, you know, your whole world is around like trying to make sure that your kid doesn't get something that could kill them. And it's just painful that they don't understand what that looks like and what it takes. And I mean, we're asking you not to like send in your kid with a banana. And often they actually, most of the kids in her class get school snacks. School snack is offered. We can't take school snack because she needs to have something that she can eat. And so it's, I get that it's asking a lot. It's asking to change a diet. But I think some of the pushback that we heard and some of the remarks that we heard were just so hurtful when you think about the pushback is something that could be life or death for your kid.
I think it's even tougher too to think about that, like, you can't explain an allergy maybe to a younger kid. They might not fully grasp the severity of it, but these are full grown adults who really do understand. Maybe they don't care to. Mm-hmm. But that's just sad.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, this is a school that is not, you know, an allergy focused school. They're just doing what they can to support you and support a student that's in their classroom. And they would do the same thing for any other parent in that school. And I think if they were to, you know, walk a mile in your shoes, they would feel a lot differently. And it's tough not having that support.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think the thing that got me is that there are sometimes that people forget, right? And you accidentally send your kid in with something.
You mean my husband.
Like Bill. Bill sent in peanut butter to daycare. And like, it's a total peanut-free school.
But he like realized in that moment, because we have all kinds of, we have cashew butter and almond butter and like everything else.
Which they also can't have in Claire's class. Right. So you'd be out of
luck. But we can send in almond butter into our classroom, but not peanut butter. And I think that morning he was like making himself a peanut butter sandwich and he just like kept on going. And he was horrified when he realized it was like right as it came into the school. And, you know, Allison won't let us live it down.
Oh, I think it's so, because of all like the people, like poor tenderhearted Bill, like broke the rules. But there are some parents that, you know, school needs to check the food before it comes into Claire's classroom because things will get just put in there. And it's just, you know, it's just so hurtful. It's hurtful and it frankly pisses me off. Like, this is totally my kid. This is my kid and you could kill my child. And, you know,
have you had supportive comments from any parents?
So many. And I'm glad you said that too. It's definitely not all doom and gloom. Like there were a couple of parents that have reached out and said, you know, hey, my brother, my sister's aunt's cousin, my boss, whatever, has a kid that has these allergies, or I know this resource that I can help you out with, or hey, I'm rethinking my kids' food plan so that I'm cutting out these things. You want me to send you a few recipes? And that always just like completely warms my heart that people are supportive and will reach out in that way and say, hey, I know what you're going through is tough. And here's like this little thing that I could do.
Yeah.
And that's been wonderful. And I would say overall in the allergy community, I hate calling that that, but like there is a community of parents and, you know, there's ways to connect and I'll post some resources out there. Yeah,
that would be fantastic
there.
Because I'm sure there are people listening that are going yeah. through this, whether they're or in the middle will. Or at the start of that journey.
Yeah.
Maybe some at the end.
Oh, God, yeah.
Hopefully
please
some
please share
the
those
end.
Stories. And I've heard a lot of those stories about kids that had these kind of this number or severity of allergy and they grew out of it. And I love those stories. And I'm really hoping Claire will be one. But yes, there's definitely been a lot of that. And I have to say, you know, it's hard on families as well. So of course I'm very lucky to have an amazing spouse who just gets it and, you know, he's in it with me. But then also both of our extended families so have been amazing and so understanding. And I'm constantly getting some, like one of them sending me a recipe and saying, hey, can I make this cake for Claire? Or I've rethought how we can do Thanksgiving. And it's just, you know, that sort of like rallying support so that we can have, she can eat cake and she can have holidays and we don't have to always make her a separate meal has been just amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I know. So you were over the other day mm-hmm. and we were outside and my kids were having snacks and bringing lots of things that Claire can't eat. And I definitely, so I mean, in Claire's case, right, I immediately say, Claire can't have that. Make sure like, whatever she doesn't, you don't drop yeah. that. So she doesn't pick it up. But it's also like, you know, whether someone's over and they have an allergy or just in general as a learning lesson, like I do try to teach my kids that not to give snacks to other kids because a parent just not might not want their kid to have that snack or being kind of aware of allergies and that, you know, they're four, they can understand that
yeah.
that someone's allergic and to say, you know, make sure you ask before you give something to someone
that's so
or ask
smart.
Their parents, whether it's an allergy or not, mm-hmm. right? Like maybe their parents just don't want them to have it. So if you've got kids at that age, you know, that's just something good to teach anyway.
It is. Yeah. Because kids do love to share and it's coming from such a good spot.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, have teaching kids about differences in people in any way, shape or form
exactly.
is a good thing to do. But, you know, food safety, for lack of a better term, and understanding what you can and cannot do with kids that have allergies is really helpful. And how to keep your playmates safe, I think it's a good thing to teach them. Kids with allergies grow up knowing their allergies better than anybody else, and so they often self-correct. So if they see something they can't eat, they're pretty good about understanding that, but not at 1.5.
Right.
You know, Claire will literally eat anything off the floor. So yeah, I think that's wonderful. A wonderful thing to teach the twins. One thing we haven't done, and it's a mental block for me. Claire has never eaten at a restaurant.
Never?
Claire has never eaten at a non-family member's house.
So she's gone to a restaurant, but she like literally hasn't had the food from
the
restaurant.
I will pack a lunch.
Okay. Well, because there's so many things that could be cross-contaminated. My goodness.
I the risk is just so real in a restaurant. And I do. I just have this total mental block on it because there was times when I had cut things out of my diet while nursing her that I was given at restaurants. Not maliciously, totally accident. But that can't happen when it's an anaphylactic allergy. And as much as we have the EpiPen and we know that we then need to get to the hospital, we know what these course of actions look like. The thought of giving my toddler an EpiPen is just, I can't.
Well, because it's kind
horrible.
Of
horrible.
It's there and thank goodness it's there, but it is not like, you know, EpiPen willy nilly.
No.
Like it's just, that
although
is a
we
last
do have a
resort.
Practice pen if you want to give it a go.
But that's a last resort,
it is.
Right?
It's not even a last resort with these kids. It's pretty much anything happens. EpiPen, hospital. So it's just one of those things. I do need to get over it because I'd like her to be able to enjoy food out. And at some point, it might get to a point that restaurants won't want her there eating other food. Because restaurants have rules, obviously, about bringing in outside food. Other than if I was like, okay, can you make her a dairy-free, egg-free, soy-free?
Can you make her a vegetable?
Yes. Can you just do vegetables cooked in nothing on nothing? That'd be great. You know, they might have second thoughts, but for right now, it just, I can't get past it. So if you do have kids with allergies and you eat out with them, please send me your thoughts and advice because it terrifies me.
Yeah. Speaking of the eating out at restaurants, our very, very first podcast episode was about kind of eating out with restrictions, whether it was a personal preference or you know, a allergy. And I know we shared some kind of tips on both our sides because I was eating with restriction by choice. You were nursing Claire at the time and restricted because of her allergies. So I know we gave our best tips. If you happen to be an adult and you're eating out with allergies, we gave some tips and also some, I know in our show notes, we had some printable allergy cards that you could take with you that you could give to your waitress just as a reminder, because when you've got allergies that are, you know, a list as long as Claire's, like you need to write that down.
Oh yeah. They need that written down. But also I think it's interesting that I was able to do that on my own and feel really comfortable with it, but it's this like extra step to take Claire there. So I think
it's different when it's just you and she is this tiny, helpless little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just different.
Yeah. And once you've seen your kid have an allergic reaction, you do not want to see it again.
I'm sure.
So one other thing I want to mention, actually two more things. So one, I mentioned earlier that we're seeing a nutritionist with her now to make sure that she's getting what she needs. And I think that's really key for any kid with allergies. Especially if you have a picky eater kid with allergies, because it's, you know, they can have a limited diet and there's things that you get from some of these things, especially dairy. And they can just help you understand how to navigate that, what things to make sure that they're getting more of. There were things that I changed as a result of seeing the nutritionist for Claire's diet, and she's not a picky eater. So just the importance and the benefit of seeing a nutritionist, I can't underplay.
Good part of your team.
Good part of my team for sure. And then kind of the last thing, and this is something that's really important to me, but keeping things as normal as possible for Claire. So I don't want her growing up with this like I am the allergy kid story. And I think I mentioned that earlier, but you know, it's easy to go to the birthday party and not have any of the food or the cake, and she sits at that separate table, and there's all these things that kind of can separate her both, you know, physically and emotionally from her peers. And I don't want that to be the case. So I am seeking out these communities of people that are dealing with similar things to understand different tactics that people use and ways that they work with their kids. And again, that nutritionist was actually really helpful. She deals with a lot of children with allergies. And you know, it's not coddling her and, you know, poor Claire-ing her and just letting it be a part of her life
and not driving her.
Yeah.
Cause I think too, it's a fine line between, you know, again, she doesn't understand at this age, but it's a fine line between teaching her the dangers of and just making her afraid.
Yes, exactly.
I think it's such a fine line.
Yeah.
And she should have awareness of why some of those things are different for her, but not that makes her different.
Yes. Yeah, I like that.
So, but thank you for sharing all that. I know there are tough parts of that.
There are.
And you're still in the thick of it. So I appreciate you sharing all that.
Yeah, of course. It was actually more emotional for me writing this up and thinking through it than I thought it was going to be. But it is.
You've got no other way but through it and you're doing it. But I think when you stop and think about it, it's tough.
It is.
So thank you.
She's just an amazing little kid.
That she is. So guys, anything that we've mentioned today, we'll definitely link for you at crunchycocktailhour.com in our show notes. Our recipe will be available on Allison's blog, silverlineandwine.com. And of course, you can find us on social media at Crunchy Cocktail Hour, wherever your social media of choice is. Subscribe if you like what you hear, and we would love if you'd leave us a review. It certainly helps new listeners find us, and we'd greatly appreciate it. See you next week.
Bye, everyone.